This podcast is brought to you by no one. If you're interested in sponsoring this broadcast, email us at c4podcast@chrisklem.net. Thank you.
After experiencing the highs and lows of games 3 and 4 in Chicago, the Bulls now return to Cleveland for a crucial game 5. It's 2-2.
1-2-3. Here's
LeBron with the steal.
Go!
LeBron.
Everyone talk. Square. Concentrate on your body position.
James on a turnaround. Yes, LeBron. James catching fire.
I love the way LeBron is playing, not only in the passing lanes, but that post area. You could not check him right there.
Yeah! Great job.
Here's Rose.
What a night for LeBron James. 38 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals.
There's two great teams battling. We protected home today, and we know we can win in that building, but we got to give the same fight.
Now that's the LeBron that we demand. That's the LeBron we need. That's the LeBron we love. That was a performance. Zero turnovers in that game. That was huge. And the proof is in the pudding. And that's all I'm going to say about LeBron. He finally showed up. And I mean, what else can you say? He had an incredible game. He was the player that we all need him to be. What I am going to talk a little bit more about is my man, the Thunder from Down Under, Matthew Dellavedova, who, in my opinion, changed the tide of this game by getting under the skin of a one Mr. Taj Gibson by using his patented Delhi Tasmanian leg lock to instigate the double tech, get him kicked out of the game, and from that on out, I as far as I'm concerned, the Cavs had it. And that's why I want to see Delhi on the court. That's why I think Delhi is the most underappreciated white boy in the league. That's why I am a Matthew Dellavedova super fan. Long live Delhi. That's right. Even my son agrees. And he doesn't even speak words yet, but he loves Delhi just like I do. Long live Delhi. Praise be to the Moz God. Let's go, Cavs. 3-2, let's take it down, let's put it in their face in their home court in Chicago, let's end it on Thursday. Let's do it, let's go Cavs!
We wanna win that ring, we wanna ring for the king, we wanna win that ring, we wanna ring for the king, we wanna win that ring, we wanna ring for the king, we wanna win that ring. Ring for the king.
My name is Shaquille, also the big Aristotle. Began in Orlando, then left for LA like a model. I brought the heat in South Beach like a sauna. After that, I headed west, playing in the sun like a farmer. Now me and Bron, I teamed the whole league's in trouble. Double-crossed by Boozer, rebuilt the team from the rubble. Yeah, it's just me and my sidekick, LeBron. It's on at whatever place. Destined to be the best because the Cavs have yet to get a chance to cut down the nets. So that
what a game, what a win. Let's take it back to Chicago. Game 6, do it again. Welcome back, Chris Clem's Cavs Cast, the C4 podcast at C4 Pod on Twitter. What else can I say except we finally got what we've been waiting for since last July 10th, and that is the return of the King. LeBron James had by far his best performance of the playoffs, maybe even his best performance of the season scoring-wise, is not only did he put the Cavs on his back, but he did it in an efficient way without stopping the shot clock in the offensive possession until the last 2 seconds and forcing up a three. He did some of those, don't get me wrong. When the Bulls went back on their run to get it within two, he did that on his own by shooting those terrible shots and holding the ball and letting the air out of the ball and trying to eat up as much clock as possible and getting a terrible shot. But He also saved the game with a block on Derrick Rose, who looked like he had an easy layup. And LeBron swooped out of nowhere and said,
"Get that big stuff out of here."
And then it was gone in the stands. The return of the king, LeBron James, he's back. And he was at his best last night. And that's what we're going to need, because this team has one more game to close out this series. They have two chances to do it, once in Chicago, once in Cleveland, to finish off the Bulls, take them out back, slaughter them. No stun gun, no bullet to the head. They're going to do it the old-fashioned way with an axe, and they're going to cut that stump off. It's going to be gushing blood everywhere. That cattle is going to be mutilated. LeBron James is going to turn into a UFO, and much like an alien, he's going to come out and tear that meat up. The Bulls are headed towards the slaughterhouse, and that slaughterhouse is known as Quicken Loans Arena. I was happy to have LeBron back last night. I was happy to see the guy we thought might be gone forever come back and show the Bulls, I'm the king, and this is my kingdom. Obviously, the big story from last night is Taj Gibson getting ejected, and this sums up all my problems I have with the media in general, the national media, and Bulls fans. Because I'm just going to have to lay it out like this, all right? I am not a journalist by any stretch of the imagination. I am not a reporter. I'm not a member of the media. I am a comedian who cares a lot about the Cavs. And I am incredibly biased towards them. Incredibly. So much so that you could say I'm a fan in term short for fanatic. Because I am, all right? I have more Cavs apparel than I know what to do with. I wear a Cavs coat every day. Because I plan on it? No, just because that's what I do on a second nature. I have a Cavs Get Close lunchbox displayed in my living room with Chris Mim, Andre Miller, and John Lucas on it, all right? I am not an unbiased journalist. I am a fan. I am a comedian. This is supposed to be funny. I'm doing this with a humorous bent. I am not doing this as a form of serious reporting. So I want to get that all the way out there before I even touch on the fact of how incredibly, disgustingly the national media has treated the Cavs. Last night, as soon as the game was over, a man who's ruined more franchises than can be named and has been sued and lost for sexual harassment, Isaiah Thomas, said the Cavs have no chance in Game 6 and he expected a blowout and that the Bulls had what it took to win in Game 7. Let's look at the facts. If the Cavs don't let Derrick Rose hit that three-pointer, they go to overtime and possibly the series is over in five games. And if they don't come out as flat as they did in game one, it would have been over anyways. I am sick of this. Okay, Isaiah Thomas, yeah, you were a great player in your time. And yeah, you're the kind of guy nobody wants to mess with because you have that power. But you're also the same guy who destroyed the Toronto Raptors, the same guy who destroyed the New York Knicks, and the same guy who got in trouble for sexual harassment and was letting Stephon Marbury f*** chicks in a pickup truck in Madison Square Garden. So I don't care what you think, because your team got its ass handed to you by the Bulls. And that ended your little two-year run, the Bad Boys. You're the one guy who couldn't get on the Dream Team because you were such an asshole. So go ahead and pick the Bulls. I don't care. The other thing that's really bothering me is the fact that our unsung hero from last night, nobody can even get his goddamn name right. It is not Matthew Dellavedova. I can't even say it the wrong way. It's not Matthew Dellavedova. Dellavedova. No, not Dellavedova. It's Dellavedova. Do you hear me? It's the man from Australia, Matthew Dellavedova. Not Dellavedova. Not Dellavedova. Dellavedova! And everybody says, oh, he leg locked He leg locked Taj Gibson. Okay, yeah, he did. But if anybody remembers Ric Flair, who was and is still the master of the figure four leg lock, when you are flipped over and on your stomach, the pressure's reversed, which means Matthew Dellavedova was in an incredible amount of pain. There was no referee there to stop. There was no rope break. The referees in the NBA are even worse than the referees in professional wrestling. Do you think he could get any relief from that? So not only was he feeling the pain from the reverse figure four, reaching for a rope break that doesn't exist, and then Taj Gibson kicks him right in the nuts, and we're supposed to think that's okay? Yeah, he did leg lock him. And you know what? That's wrong. But he did it from a position of weakness. Forget the fact that right before that, he shoved him to the ground. Forget the fact that on the same play, he put an elbow into his chest on a screen. Forget the fact that three plays before that, he just straight up shoved him in the face. No, we're going to go back to that fact to say Taj Gibson was horribly, unfairly kicked out of the game. You know, let's also forget that Aaron Brooks ran from the other side of the court and shoved J.R. Smith, who wasn't even involved, just because they were trying to get him ejected from the game. That is the thing that happened in the entire game last night. Aaron Brooks, you should be ashamed of yourself. And the fact that the Bulls are trying to exploit J.R. Smith and get him to get ejected, that means they're afraid. They're scared of him, because J.R. Smith is one thing those guys aren't, and that's a guy who does not give a damn what anyone thinks, for better or for worse. And I'm glad he did not get suspended. I'm glad he did not take the bait. But let's go on and say Taj Gibson was there. Let's just throw out the fact that the Bulls cut it back to within two with Taj Gibson off the floor. Let's just forget the fact that he was negative one in his plus minus. Let's forget the fact that he has been overall a negative on the Bulls. And let's just say, yeah, he would have won the game for them. And if you're depending on your eighth guy to win the game for you, then that's like saying, you know, we have a chance that Matthew Dellavedova wins the game for us. Because you're f***ed if you do. I'm sick of this. I'm just so sick of this. And then you got guys like Mike Wilbon. I get it, man. I'm a big fan of his, and I know he is a legit Bulls fan, so I expect him to be biased. But he is actually a journalist. He's not a comedian doing a podcast for fun. He is a guy who's getting paid to be an unbiased reporter. That's fine on PTI. He can say what he wants because he is a Bulls fan, and I respect that. But come on, dude. You really think Taj Gibson was winning the game for the Bulls? You think that one rebound that Amon Shumpert was Taj Gibson would have got that and the game would have been over? I don't know how much of a stretch of the imagination it has to be for me to even begin to believe that. But you know what? I'm a Cleveland fan, so of course I'm always going to think the worst about everything, because that's all we've gotten for 51 years. And so no, I'm not going to assume some magical fairy is going to save us, because I know the truth. Life's hard, and it's really for me right now to see all these people in the national media talking about how crappy Cleveland is as a city and how classless their fans are. Yes, because Cleveland fans own the market on being classless. You're 100%. There's nobody in this city who throws things at my car. There's nobody who throws what appeared to be a coffee cup at the side of my car because I have a Cavs logo on it in Chicago. No! Only classless fans are in Cleveland. That's 100% a fact. Only in Cleveland do you have people yell at you when you open your car door and say, the Cavs. Yes, only in Cleveland, because that's the only home of classless fans in the entire world of sports. Thank you, Russ Bengston from Slam Magazine. You're 100% correct. I can't take this anymore, and I can't wait for the Cavs to come to Chicago on Thursday night and to whoop the Bulls' ass at the United Center. Yeah, I'm not going to be there because the cheapest tickets I could find were $150, and I got to save that money in case they make it to the finals, because I really have to get tickets for that. But I will be watching it in spirit. I don't care what happens. The Cavs are going to win this series. I'm going to guarantee it right now. And if anybody's got a problem with that, well, you can email me at c4podcast@chrisklem.net, and it will probably do nothing because they might still lose. But I believe that they won't. And that's about as strong of a stand that I could get behind. The Cavs are going to win this series. Forget everything else. And forget the fact that Pau Gasol is not playing, okay? Because I think Kevin Love was a little bit more important to our team than Pau Gasol, whose numbers were basically in a vacuum. All of his rebounding numbers were almost none of them in traffic. They were just phantom rebounding numbers. Really, let's be honest here. Kevin Love's rebounds were in traffic and more important to the Cavs. But I'm not going to say that because I'm not an a-. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. C4 Podcast. This is it. Game 6 tonight, tomorrow night, depending on when you're listening to this. Thursday, It's on. And you know what? Just like the rest of the games, I am all in. We got the King back on our side. We got Kyrie Irving, who I didn't even mention because I could have gone on for another 10 minutes on that alone. How gutsy of a performance Kyrie Irving had last night, considering that he played his ass off while he was hanging with 1.5 legs. And you know, I'm not going to say he's the only guy in the NBA to do that because Tim Duncan has been doing that for about 5 years. But Kyrie Irving, being a young guy and just sucking it up and going out there, nothing but love. He is a great, he is going to be one of the best players in the NBA within a matter of seasons if he's not there already. All right? Much love to Uncle Drew.
Coach Connor's Corner!
Coach Connor here. I've noticed in these games with the Cavaliers and the Bulls that what we have is we have some genius coaching going on. The fact that he's playing Matthew Dellavedova so much is crucial. It's like in a good baseball game. You got a pitcher who throws fastballs. You can adjust to that. But in basketball, we've got Matthew Dellavedova, slow white guy. They don't even think to pick on their pickup team, playing so much time for the Cavaliers. What happens is he drives in, and they get used to that speed. And then LeBron and Kyrie go drive in, and it's like, oh, they weren't ready for that. They were used to Matthew Dellavedova's speed. The key is the changeup. He changes things up. He makes them think differently. He goes so slow sometimes that they go to block a shot, throw up in the air, swing at it before he even shoots because he's slower. It's a changeup. It's genius by Coach Platt. And the fact that people think he wasn't going to let LeBron take the last shot, come on. He was teasing LeBron. This guy loves, they love teasing each other. I love pro sports like that. There's no way that Blatt wasn't going to let him take the shot. You knew it was going to be LeBron's shot. LeBron take it out. He probably giggled. You know, he winked. I bet you he winked. I can't wait for the next game.
Coach Connor's Corner.
Long live Delhi. Praise be to Maz God. Tristan Thompson's Trump Tower truck. Triumph, I don't know, something. It's a work in progress. Joe Kim Noah, all in. Let's go Cavs. Let's do this. Game six, I'm ready. I'm pumped. Let's bring home this non-existent banner, but let's have the Cavs at least make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? I think we could all be happy with that. I will be even happier if they make it to the championship, but they got to at least beat the Bulls. Come on, let's do this for Michael Jordan us over in the 80s. Let's do this for Craig Elo, Lenny Wilkins, Mark Price, Brad Doherty, Larry Nance, and most importantly, the man with the previous best nickname, Hot Rod Williams. Go Cavs, all in. Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening. And I'm about to say, hey, this is Cleveland. This is our